And number here, elected or appointed public officials or member of a political subdivision or governing or legislative body. So I think you would fall under that. What conduct do the conflict of interest laws cover? Financial gain or influencing decisions are part of that. So I just wanted to bring that up and make that a part of public record. I know Bonita's fingers are probably going numb by now, but also wanted to mention, you know, what is a conflict of interest by state statute by the Missouri Constitution? It just says here that it is a possible criminal statute, and of course Russ can, you know, of course speak to this. The first offense knowingly violates is a statute, is a Class B misdemeanor. So I just want to be sure that, and I'm not saying it is, I just want to be sure that you've done everything you need to do to ensure that you're protected in this, because I just wouldn't want anything to happen, you know, negative in that case. So I want to speak to value. We've talked about value a little bit, about how vacation rentals will, you know, tank property values. I've just run a report basically from 2008 to today, and basically it just shows that in 2010, 8 properties sold in Branson Creek, and there was 21 that sold in 2016. So demand is up and values are up. Based on this report, which I ran on the MLS, it shows that properties are up about 6% per year since 2008 out there at Branson Creek. I think that's a good thing. So I don't think that we can say that nightly rentals harm property values.
Who's got the bail? Somebody got a bail going on back there? Huh? Is it coming through this? I'm hearing things, and go ahead, Jeremy.
Okay. I'm trying to talk fast, too. Sorry if I'm talking fast, but I'm trying to talk fast.
I can hear.
So basically just one quick example, 165 North Tuscany. You know, it sold in 2014 for $150,000. It was not being used as a vacation rental. It's right here on the MLS. And then it sold again in December of last year for $190,000. So that's a $40,000 increase in value. Because it was sold as a vacation rental, that's clear proof that they're not tanking property values. And anybody that wanted to list their property, you know, as a vacation rental could sell it for more than somebody who couldn't. And I've got some statistics here also from the National Association of Realtors. It's just real quick. Basically, it was a survey that was done nationwide showing that buyers will pay higher prices for short-term rental properties. This is, you know, clearly written in the survey. They'll pay a higher price, you know, the property will close for a higher price if it's listed as a vacation rental, and then of course the property will list for higher. And I've got percentages here and everything if you're interested. I'll spare everybody from reading them, but this is actual facts. This is real data. This is not somebody's opinion.
Is that something we can keep?
Absolutely. My point is just to show that you know, value is important, because I know that part of the you know, the guidance code is to make sure that, you know, property values are protected. I just also wanted to talk about compatibility for just a second. Just have one document on here. Last time we were here about a month or two ago, we talked about a bunch of noise complaints and problems and how there's so many problems out there, Branson Creek and fireworks and things like that. Well, I just called the Taney County Sheriff's Department and I asked them to run a public disturbance record out there from January 1st, 2015 to the 2nd of February, which is when I actually received the report from Vicki down at Records. And you wanna know how many there were, public disturbance calls?
Probably none.
Zero out there. And I made sure to run a map. I had her do a map search of every street out there at the Fieldstone Bluffs, because I thought, for the benefit of the doubt of the homeowners that, you know, might have used their own address for a public disturbance calls instead of the address of the vacation rental. So I wanted to be sure we had some accurate information there as well. I'm almost done here. Just have a quick thing to mention about compatibility, about precedent and kind of legality. Basically, this very similar thing happened in Camden County in 2014 at Lodge of the Four Seasons. You guys have heard of that place, I know. The homeowners assembled in this very same fashion to shut it down, and it actually went to arbitration. It didn't go to court. It went to an arbitration. And I've got the findings right here, and I'll be happy to pass those on to you right now. But basically, the three big things, the findings of law, The finding of facts are is that if you own a property, even with covenants and restrictions, you do have a legally protectable interest in your lot and land. The HOA changes must be adopted by 100% of the homeowners to make a change. And the loss of profit, the gentleman who actually won, they ruled in favor of the vacation rental owner and awarded him $12,000 in lost rent and lost bookings plus fees because the people had kind of destroyed his business during this process. And this is for you to have. It's it's for you to review.
Thank you.
So I just want to be sure that everybody here is aware of their personal individual liabilities for interfering with somebody's business. You know, this also here is a did you like that? This also is a this is a general warranty deed for the Murphys, Mr. and Mrs. Murphy, and the Smiths. And I just, you know, pulled these out of curiosity to find out, you know, when the deed was recorded. And the Murphys here recorded their deed in 2007, and Ms. Smith here recorded hers in 2011. And I'm just curious, if vacation rentals have been going on out there since 2006, well, why is this the first time we're hearing about this in 2017, you know, almost 10 years later? Why are we all here gathered tonight in opposition when it's been going on, I guess, without enough major concern to assemble us to this capacity before? And, you know, like Mr. Phillips said, I wonder if they had the same responsibility to do the same due diligence when they bought. You know, there are communities out at Branson Creek. We all know as real estate agents what to sell and what not to sell out there. I've never told anybody they can do a vacation rental in an area where it's not allowed. And if they do have a concern about it, we direct them to do their own due diligence, right, to make sure. And this is exactly what these people have done. And I just don't see, you know, Mr. Schoenewerk said it's not his client's fault. I don't see really what fault it is of the 29 business owners who did do due diligence to find out exactly whether they could or could not do nightly rentals to be shut down by an opposition that for the past 10 years hasn't apparently been a concern. You know, this is the letter that Mr. Schoenewerk sent to all of the real estate offices in town, basically saying that, you know, it's illegal to, well, it's very cleverly worded. I might hire you someday. That's great. It doesn't say that they're not illegal. It just says what the requirements are. But, I mean, everybody's getting, you know, constantly fed this information. And the entire, you wonder why the realtors are here. They're here because this is creating a lot of confusion in our market, and it's interrupting the flow of business there. So I'll just end with this and say, if the county didn't keep accurate records to ensure that the Division III permit was accepted and approved, you know, I don't think that that's the fault of the 29 business owners and the subsequent people who rely on the income, such as cleaners, service providers, and the other people that participate in this industry. So, thanks. Sorry for all the binder clips.
Anybody got any questions for Jeremy?
I would like to ask.
No. Okay. I'm talking about up here.
Sorry.
No.
I appreciate you looking out for my personal well-being, Jeremy.
Well, a lot of people think that I'm just, you know, a money grubber or whatever, but I do care about this county. I chose to live here. My children grow up here. And I want our county to be on the map for great reasons, you know, not for bad reasons. So I really do. I'm sincere when I say that.
I believe you when you say that, too.
Thank you.
Jeremy. I do. I ain't joking there. So, okay, I guess we're...
signed up under the wrong one. Can I speak now?
Tracy Lightfoot. She's standing back there and you're sitting, so that's the reason I've done that.
Not a problem.
Good evening. I'm not going to take but just a minute of your time. Obviously, Jeremy and Don said a lot what I was thinking and thinking as well here. One thing I would like to address, though, is the application, because Don has his property under contract for the sale. We specifically asked Bob unfortunately, Bob's not here. He's moved to another position in Springfield, and so, you know, we cannot, you know, address this here. We did our concept hearing in December for this property, and it was stated on there how it was. Bob had mentioned to the panel here at that time that we had had sellers and buyers do the same thing in the past, and I have been here.
Well, ma'am, I believe
specifically.
It was just worded, if I may break in.
Yes.
I believe it was just worded wrong. If he's representing them, mm-hmm. if the deal is closing and he's representing them,
okay.
they are the ones that would be requesting the permit.
Correct.
Not Mr. Phillips.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're clear.
Right. We just can't
so if it's
issue
approved.
It to Mr. Phillips, or we never have issued it to someone and then processed it in their name.
Got you. I understand.
That's all we're saying.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because we do have the buyers for the property here as well.
Right.
And I want to make sure that we cleared that up so they knew exactly what your thoughts are on that, so we don't have issues if this were to be approved.
I can only speak for myself, but we are not going to try to create any more confusion than
Thank
we already
you.
Have.
I appreciate that very much. So, you know, Jeremy said basically, you know, what I want to say as well. When we take clientele out, we're not just selling them a property. We're building relationships with these investors, and we're not going into areas that we haven't done our due diligence or ask the county or ask the association if this is something that's approved. We don't want to infringe on anybody's privacy. And we did exactly that with the properties that we did sell within Branson Creek. We called the county. We received a copy of the letter. We talked to Scott Bailey, Stacy Blevins at the Homeowners Association, and they told us that they had no problem with this. It was approved. A lot of these properties were sold intended for the use of vacation rental, and they were very aware of that, and they give us the stamp of approval to do so. So I just want to reiterate that when the Phillips purchased their property, we went through the whole due diligence before we even wrote a contract on the house, before they even purchased. The buyers did have a couple of questions, if I can ask you guys real quick. They did call over and speak to Jim Singleton in regards to the fire suppression system, and we had a couple of questions because Jim asked us to ask you these questions this evening if we could. So upon approval on a property, the timeline to install a suppression system, is that 120 days? Am I correct on that, or can you guys answer that?
No, your decision of record just has to be recorded within that 120 days. After that, your certificate of compliance is filled out, so to my knowledge, there's no timeline. You just would not meet the criteria of the decision of record until you went through each item. Then you get your what we call a C of C, and that's one item of your C of C.
Okay.
So
it has to comply before you're issued.
If you take 2 years to do that and you don't rent for 2 years, that's something that you have to get finished.
Okay.
Bonnie, is that right? We don't have a timeline on that as far as completion. Is that right, Bonita? Yep.
That's correct.
Yep.
Okay. So no, then you're telling me that no rentals can take place until all items are completed and complied with.
Correct. That's so that you get your C of C certificate.
Okay.
I may have to get Doug's mic.
Until that C of C is in place.
Right.
Correct.
And it has been checked out.
Okay. That's all
Do
I have.
Do any of these properties comply with the fire suppression system at this point?
I cannot speak for everybody.
What about the ones that you have, or you have sold?
They do not, because we were told these were all signed off on prior to 2012, the requirement of the fire suppression systems having to be installed for special use permit requirement. So we were told that these properties did not require these because they were all signed off on.
But that was for the original owner when they sell, or after that 2008 or whenever that date mm-hmm. was. They have to apply and then comply to the new regulations.
Okay. when we called and spoke with, and I'll have to check to see if I have an email, and if I do, I will forward it to you. But when we called to do our due diligence, those were questions that we did ask.